Samson. Samson's on the list. He made the cut. God did not forget Samson. In spite of all of his failures, the spiritual jock of the Bible who blew it miserably, all because he could not control his urges. And yet, the Bible says, write his name down, faithful. Because that was not all the story of Samson. There's more to the man than his failures.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's message entitled, Forward in Christ.
That's the whole story behind Peter. If it is you, bid me to come. And Peter's walking on the water. And the story captures that one little piece that none of us miss. He took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And the Lord didn't say, what a doofus. Learn your lesson. He picks him up. Peter cries out, save me. And the Lord saves him. Where are you going to find this kind of love anywhere else? What other God offers anything like this? None. None of them offer this kind of love. None of them offer this kind of sacrifice on God's side. Only our God, only our Christ, makes perfect sense. Anything less than that is gibberish about the Almighty and is to be categorically rejected. There's only one way. There's only one way forward in this life, and that is the way of faith. And so we read in Hebrews again. Three times this is said in the New Testament. It's quoting Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, who incidentally started off having some heavy problems with how God did business. And yet he says, I will stand my watch. I will wait to see how he answers me. I will surrender and submit to him. And he ends his prophecy with this beautiful psalm about, I don't care if everything fails, I'll belong to him. Well, the writer of Hebrews and Galatians and Romans, they all saw fit to quote that prophet Habakkuk. And here in Hebrews 10, we read it this way. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, adds the Holy Spirit, my soul has no pleasure in him. What? You mean faith is that big a deal? You mean faith is so important that we're to live by it? And if we draw back, you are displeased. That's what it means. Again, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then the writer in the very next chapter begins to list for us what it looks like to go through this messed up life in faith. And he begins listing everyone of you that you can think of as a hero that time would allow him to list. And then he includes some folks that we would rather not see on the list, but they made it there. For instance, Samson. Samson's on the list. He made the cut. God did not forget Samson. In spite of all of his failures, the spiritual jock of the Bible who blew it miserably, all because he could not control his urges. And yet, the Bible says, write his name down, faithful. Because that was not all the story of Samson. There's more to the man than his failures. It would be a ghastly and gruesome end for this once mighty Egyptian army. Here we are, listening to Moses tell them, go forward, because God told Moses to tell them that. And they are going to see that army sprawled along the seashore, dead. Exodus 14, verse 30 gives us the end of the story. So Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When men fight against God, they go down in defeat without exception. They may not go down instantly according to our time, but God works in the eternals, and to him it's already done. They always go down in defeat. Part of the lesson there is don't be that one. Don't be the one who fights against God and goes down in defeat. This going forward in faith is only the beginning. Any of you, when you come to Christ, when you first come to Christ, what would have happened if you did not go forward in spite of defeat? You would have departed from the Lord, and his soul would have had no pleasure in you. The just shall live by faith. And if you live by anything else, no pleasure in you. Why? Because you followed a lie. Faith in God, the God of the Bible, through Jesus Christ, is truth. It is built on truth. All of that faith is built on truth. I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to finish. I want to button up this section that we're in now. Forward in the faith. That is the section we are in at this moment. All the Bible studies that you have received over the years, be it in this ministry or in another ministry that's not so good as this ministry. Kidding. All those Bible studies that you have received in faith, in Christ Jesus, do they matter? Do they count? Do you do anything with them? Have they built you up? Have they moved you forward? If they haven't, it's not the study's fault. We understand that. What right has anyone to receive God's word time and time again and opt to not move forward? What right have we to listen to God's word and opt not to let it correct us, change us, exhort us, build us up, pull us to the side, send us in front? What right have we? Internally, when we receive the lessons of the Lord through his servants, internally we must be willing to perish for the Lord. That must be an inner conviction. It must be at the core of our service in Christ. When he says, take up your cross, well, you didn't take up your cross to go strolling. You took it up to die on. It is the beginning of Christianity. Not only does the old man, is he to be put to death, but you could be put to death for Christ. Esther teaches us this lesson, does it not? We all know this passage of Scripture. When she was supposed to do her part, when she was supposed to go forward in faith, death waited for her. We read this in Esther 4, verse 16, and she says these words, "And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." That's not an encouragement to break the law, but it is. It is an encouragement to stand in Christ, even if that is against the law, and take whatever comes. If they were to say pastors could no longer preach on sin, could no longer preach against homosexuality, against all the fake religions of the world, if they do that, we're going to put them in jail. I wear a striped shirt to church that Sunday because I'm going to jail. I understand that. I accept that. I have to take the punishment for standing up for the faith. Externally, we must be willing to work the word all the time. These two convictions, they must be there all the time. Internally, if I perish, I perish. If God saves me, he saves me. And on the outside, working. Paul wrote this, Acts chapter 20, none of these things move me. This was under the threat of death. Paul, you go to Jerusalem, they're going to punish you. They're going to get you. It's not going to be good. The prophet came along and said, the man that wears this belt will be bound. And then Paul says, none of these things move me. In other words, so what's your point? Nor do I count my life dear to myself. This is New Testament. So that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace of God. And how many little pebbles, how many spitballs knock over Christians? I'm offended. Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. Stand before the throne of God. And the Lord says, now tell me again, what is it that rubbed you the wrong way so badly that you stopped serving? You stopped being kind? You stopped going forward? Tell me again. I want to hear this again. They didn't have your brand of coffee in the fellowship hall or some other stupid thing. Are you ready for that? Okay, the pastor goes and says, now tell me again, pastor, why is it that you were bitter against some of the people? Well, this is my plan. You're not talking to me, Lord, because when I felt that stuff coming, I attacked it. Okay, you can go over there. But all you other pastors that weren't teaching as well as him, that's just fun. I don't mean any of it, of course. I'd be standing before God being judged for humor. I'd be in bad shape. Rick, you thought that was funny. No. Anyway, daily, go forward in the faith. Do these lessons do anything? Or maybe you've become the guy that stopped moving forward because you've heard it all before. You've heard pastors get up, make powerful points, but it hasn't really moved you the way you thought it was. So now you're not moved. Now you just nod your head, yep, I agree with them. But you're not moved. There's nothing burning in your heart anymore. You're a dud. If you were to land on the enemy, you wouldn't go off. I don't want to be that guy. If you are that person, at some time this day, you need to get into your closet, your prayer closet, and you need to cry out to the Lord, and you need to make sure you don't stop praying this first on your prayer list until it gets done, until he answers, until he says, why are you crying out to me? Go forward. I know what it's like. I've been at pastor conferences where many of the pastors are doodling and they're not listening, writing notes to each other. I usually slap them in the back of their heads when I say, no, I don't. Those guys have beat me up. But I don't want to be that guy. If I'm going to sit under the word, it's going to be God's word, and I'm going to sit there and receive it, no matter where I am, or else I'm not going into sanctuary. Very simple. If I'm going to open my Bible, I'm going to fight to receive it, especially when I'm not in the mood. Well, why open it? Why bother? We have to go forward in the faith. We have to go forward in truth. These were to be the people of God, and therefore they were to learn to cling to him, to depend upon him. What does God say to the people when God to Moses when he is about to give him the Ten Commandments, which is the definitive sermon of the nation of Israel? Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2. Moses writes, God spoke all these words, saying, and now he begins to quote the Lord, verse 2. I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he could have said right there to Moses and to all the people, remember that? You were there. What was it like? Each one would have to sort that out as he heard these words. I was in bondage. I was in Egypt. I was a slave. I got nothing out of life. Galatians tells us that this belongs to the church. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it or not? Do you receive it or not? So you can believe it. You can. I agree. You check the box. Intellectually, I'm with you. But spiritually, I'm in another continent. It's not enough to believe. You've got to receive it. It's got to get in there. Do you think pastors ever get stale in their own time with the Lord? Do you think do we just open the scripture? Thus saith the Lord. Those shoes are terrible. Where'd you buy them? God has to... Listen, my wife doesn't even ask me anymore on Saturdays, how's the study going? Because she's probably sick of hearing me saying, it's horrible. Why did I not become a juggling clown? You're not? Anyway, God wanted to inoculate these people of his against spiritual sickness that was all around them. He wants to do the same thing with us. True faith is demonstrated not only by good conduct, but by worship that is acceptable to God. Worship that is acceptable to God. Well, where do I worship? Wherever I want to. That's where I worship. Authentic worship lets God be God, allows him to be everything he says he is on his terms, and is good with it, like it or not. signs off on it according to divine revelation, which is the truth about God, which comes from nowhere else. Anything else, anything that places the worshiper above God is the essence of idolatry. When you make God in your image or any other image, you are placing yourself above God. It is a lie. It is a violation of the very first thing God got to with his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean I should be first on the list and you can have them second, long as I am first before them. It doesn't mean that. It means they shouldn't even be in my sight. They should not exist. What does God, where does God see? How far does he? Well, there's no place he does not see. The Baal worshipers on Mount Carmel were under this delusion. The women weeping for Tammuz. We've been going through Ezekiel, and there in chapter 8, God said to Ezekiel, let me give you a vision of what's going on inside the hearts of the people who are playing religion with me. In my house, under my nose, little cubicles for their idols, turning their backs to me, crying for Tammuz, emotionally engulfed in their religion that is fake, that is a lie. They were sincere in their ritual. The prophets of Baal, they were so sincere, they were cutting themselves. Signature of Satan's presence, self-destruction. Very sincere. Very mistaken. And instead of gaining the hearing of God with these false expressions in God's ear, these man-made religions and the people who engulfed themselves in them provoked his wrath. And almost the entire Old Testament is about that very thing. God's wrath against this junk. And so what is that saying to us? That the Christian moves forward in Christ, he must move forward in truth also. And no exceptions. True worship is Holy Spirit governed, focused on Christ. That is true worship. Sin against man is always the outcome of sin against God. False worship leads to false morality. We're living in this time right now. Sinful behavior is exalted. Human misery increases. The culture begins to redefine God according to their own moral standards, and in so doing, they are idolatrous. Contact with God must produce a determination to do his will. When you feel that dying in you as a Christian, you're in trouble. You need to do something. If you looked in the mirror in the morning and suddenly there was something on your face that didn't belong there, like a rash, you'd be concerned. As Christians, if you find that there is no determination to do the will of the God, to do the will of God, to go forward with God, you should be concerned. And so contact with God produces determination to do his will. Otherwise, faith and worship lack truth, and you can't move forward with him. My last point is now forward in Christ. We talked about going forward in truth, and now we are going to have a few words on going forward in Christ. The Lord Jesus is the truth. It is impossible for him to lie. That does not mean that it is impossible for him to delay according to our timetable. It does not mean that it is impossible for him to stand at a distance and allow us to go through this and that. His words rule out all the false religions of the world. They hate that about him. We love it about him because it is true. And when the time came for him to suffer, he went forward to receive the scourge of the cross, knowing full well what it was going to mean to him physically, what he was going to feel. We're told this in John 18, verse 4. This is at the arrest of Jesus. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you looking for? And of course, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. The kiss was administered. And what did he say? I am. And they fell back. He said, because it's a clumsy moment. There was a spiritual impact in his answer. And they, the front ones, fell back. And like dominoes, so did the other ones. You would think that someone would just say, well, what just happened here? This is kind of goofy. What are we, the Keystone Cops? What happened here? None of them did. He told the truth to Caiaphas, knowing it would cost him his life. Are you the Christ? I am. What further proof do we need? He could have just said nothing, like he did with Herod. He could have kept his mouth shut, knowing full well what waited for him. Because of us, because of you, because of me, he went forward. He disturbs us. He disturbs us by being what he is in our view. We see him as pure and holy and high. And in his presence, we see ourselves as sinners, the sinners that we are. But we also see his love. When he speaks to me personally, every time I've heard the voice of God and Christ speak to me, it has always, without exception, even when corrected, been in love. I've never heard him say a mean thing to me. I have had unpleasant instructions. I have had corrections. Never have I ever felt that he did not love me. His truth and love caused me to love him back. He set it up that way. I just go into it. The Holy Spirit's work is to make God's truth plain to us. God's truth about Jesus Christ, his son. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 14, 13 and 14. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak. He will not speak, pardon me, on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And that's what we do. We take of what is Christ and we declare it to others. It's not ours, it's his. And we love doing it. For some, truth is very important, but peace is more important. I hope that is not you, and I don't want that to be me. Because truth disturbs false things. It disturbs a false peace. It disturbs the world whom Christ died for, not the system, but the people in it. And so they don't go forward in truth, because truth disturbs things. It brings a sword. It divides families. It puts the liars on this side and those who want the truth on that side. It does it without exception. It's up to the individual's choice. Some families do, immediate families, closed systems, they don't have that problem because they're all sided on the truth. But as that family extends, you begin to find those who are divided. Failed religion, which is false religion, talks about life, but not the truth, not the way of life, the way of truth in life. For example, the Pharisees in our New Testament, they were very religious people. They were very interested in religion without truth, without Christ. They saw the miracles. They heard the sermons. They had to find liars to come in and bear false witness against them because they did not love the truth. And they only did that to satisfy whatever remnants of their conscience remained concerning their hatred towards Christ. May we go forward by faith in God's word as though we are his people. I hope to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to always trust and move forward in faith and never without truth. They go together. I close with this verse from 2 Peter chapter 3. Looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Be steadfast, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.